invite you to turn with me to Isaiah, the first chapter. First chapter of Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth the owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us, unto us, a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. The silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies. I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them.
Open your Bibles to the first epistle of John, the first chapter. 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which is with the Father, and which was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
A verse from a hymn has been rolling through my mind. It goes like this, and you're familiar with it. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Appreciated the opening this morning and just that encouragement to stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ in the day, especially in the day that we're living. And you know, that's something else that some young man wrote that kind of thought about here. It's something like this: but the answer to the world's problems is not a solution that the world has to offer. I think that's where we are. We see a lot of problems in the world, and we read about a lot of solutions to these problems. And you read about maybe on this side, on the conservative ends, well, we need to be here, and this is what we need to stand for, and this is how we need to govern, and this and this. And then over on this, and you find yourself moving back and forth. If that is where we put our trust, if that is where we think our solution is, we're going to find ourselves wavering back and forth. But you know, we need to find ourselves anchored in Jehovah, anchored in God's word. The only solution to the world's problems is right here, God's word. And we know that. And I just need that encouragement, and I'm sure you do too. That there will not be an answer to the world's problems is not a solution that the world is going to offer. It's in the Word of God. And so glory, hallelujah, that we have the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, the solid rock that we can stand firm in. And so we too are rejoicing with you, the family, this morning. Think about the words in 3 John, and you're familiar with these, that say, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. And I'm sure you have joy, and we know that God in heaven is joyous this morning that another young man has chosen to walk in truth. And so we are rejoicing this morning, and you notice that verse, it says, walk in truth. And so the encouragement here is we're joyous today But we know that there's a life then to live and to walk in truth. And so that's going to be the joy, Daniel, is when we walk in truth, when your parents, when God in heaven sees you walk this out to the very end of your life here, that we walk in truth. And so we're rejoicing with you this morning. The text this morning that we'd like to talk about is the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cleansing blood. You'll find that down here in verse number 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I want us to see a word here that's mentioned twice, once in verse 7 and once in verse 9, and that is the word all. Cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And you know, I think about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as being an all-purpose cleaner. I think you sisters, you're familiar with an all-purpose cleaner. And this is a cleaner that has multiple purposes. It can clean multiple filth and dirt. And this blood of Jesus is a multi-purpose cleaner. And so, you know, we think about the sin stains, and yet we understand and we know that there is only one cleaner for sin and sin stains, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus. There's only one cleaner in this life that we live for the guilty stained sins, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time working years ago I was working in an Arby's and getting ready to the final cleanup, and there on the countertop was this sticky substance that was stuck to the countertop. And I was, it kind of got me because I realized that it was stuck on there really good. And so I thought, well, man, I don't know. I started to think that we was going to have to replace this countertop. So I thought, well, we got to get this cleaned off. So I went to the truck and I got some paint thinner, put it on a rag and wiped it over that stain there. Didn't even touch it. I thought, oh boy, we have got a stain. We've got dirt here that I don't know. So I went to the truck again and got some lacquer thinner. I thought, surely this will get it. And I rubbed over that again and it didn't even touch it. And it just dawned on me, I wonder what water would do to that. So I went and I soaked a rag with water, and you know, I took it over there and it just took it right off. I was just kind of amazed. And you know, we think about blood and all the different solutions to my sin, to the filth in my life, the filth in my heart, and the filth in my soul. And I can look at this cleaner and I think it's going to need this solution and this. And this and this, but I just want us all to know there is no solution to sin stains except the cleaning agent of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will clean all sin. I don't know where we're at this morning. I don't know what your life is like this morning. I don't know what you're struggling with and what your sin is. But there's only one solution. I want to just really, really brand that in our mind this morning. There is only one solution to sin, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sin, I know sin is sin, and we think of big sins and we think the little sins, you know, just one little sin will damn us to hell forever. And the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You know, but some sins are like big hooks. And they've got big barbs on them. And sometimes sin can get a hold of us. And you know, we just feel like that we're in bondage. and we just can't shake loose of the bondage of sin. But I want us to understand that there is a solution. There is a solution to all sin, and it is only in the cleaning agent of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we think about different types of cleaning action. And, you know, there's, and you probably know all this, but, you know, it's just interesting that, cleaning up stained sins or just cleaning up, stains. You know, there's probably the most familiar we're with is just soap. It works on the principle of lubrication. And so it's real slimy and it's soapy. And so it gets, and it lubricates it. And finally that dirt breaks loose. Or sometimes a little harder stain maybe takes some abrasive in it. You know, there's some cleaners that have a little grit in it. There's some sin or some stains that needs an abrasive. Or there's the kind of solution that just, you pour it on that stain and it just dissolves it. It just goes away. And then there's the kind that are really hard. You really got to scrub at it, or you got to get a sharp knife and you got to really scrape and scrape and scrape and scrape. But again, no matter whatever spectrum our sin is, you know, it has no gripping power over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No power. It will be released from our life if we apply the blood to our lives. That's the question this morning. The question isn't whether the solution of the blood is strong enough or powerful enough. The question is, am I willing in faith believing in the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse my heart and to cleanse my soul? And you know, that's kind of interesting to think about blood being a cleansing agent. You know, usually when we deal with blood, we're cleaning it off. We're using some kind of a cleaning solution to clean blood from our clothes. If we get a cut on our finger or somewhere and it drips on our clothes, you know, we're trying to clean blood off, but blood as a cleaning agent. It's interesting. Interesting how God used blood as the way to clean sin. And you know what? It's the perfect metaphor for a cleaning agent. Perfect metaphor of a cleaning agent. I read this little illustration. I didn't do it. I don't know if I'll do it or not. It sounds kind of interesting, but the illustration says that if you would take a tourniquet, you know how when you take your blood pressure and you put it around your arm and they pump it up. And if you would pump that up, so hard that it would completely shut off all the blood to your arm. And you know what it feels like whenever you do that. It kind of feels kind of funny here as the blood, you can tell the blood is kind of shut off from your arm. But this man said, so then you take your fist and you grip your fist 10 times. And he said, you'll begin to maybe feel some numbness. You'll begin to feel, just some interesting feelings in your arm. And then about the 10th time, it'll just come all of a sudden. It a sharp pain said will just come. It's an unbearable sharp pain that will come into your arm. And I don't know. I'm about kind of afraid to try it, but I'm kind of wanting to try it. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't know. So anyway, he said, you do that illustration and you pump your hand 10 times and there will be an overcoming agony of pain in your arm. And then what you do, he said, then you release that tourniquet and you feel that blood. And you know how it is when they take your blood pressure and they release it. You can feel that blood, but he said, you can just feel that blood rush into your arm and that pain then goes away. And what he said that you have experienced, what you have experienced right there is the cleansing power of the blood. Right there. And he goes on to explain that, you know, our muscles need oxygen, and they use that oxygen and they turn it into energy. But then when it turns it into energy, it releases a toxin. It releases waste. And what happens is it releases that waste, but it has nowhere to go. And so it builds up in your arm, your muscles rely on the blood to carry those toxins away from the cells, your muscle cells, and get rid of them so that there can be life again to the cells. And so the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus, that's really what we're talking about right there. And you know, we compare the toxins in our blood cells that's released to sin. And you know, that's what happens when we are not cleansed. When we carry our sin and we're not cleansed, it brings pain and eventually death into our life. And so what a perfect metaphor there, the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can say that cleansing blood sustains life. It brings life to us. It brings life to ourselves. And so the cleansing blood, as it takes away, removes the sin from our souls, from our hearts, from our lives, it gives us life. And we can live a faithful life unto the Lord Jesus because of his cleansing blood that he shed on the cross. You know, as we read there in Isaiah 1, did you see all those pains there? Thinking about sin being pain in our life. Listen to these pains. The sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I'm not sure how to pronounce that word. And they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it, and your presence. Sounds kind of like what's going on today, doesn't it? A little bit. And so the world's solutions to the problems will not work. The biblical solution of the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus, but it brings pain in our life when we are not cleansed. And so forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us of our sins. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And so there that word is, that purify, really the same word, interchangeable there with cleansing. So it might cleanse unto him a peculiar people. Really, this is we get the benefit of the cleansing, but really he wants to cleanse us unto him, and that he can present us as a peculiar people. And you know, that's just a special people that God wants. We are a special people to God because we've been cleansed. We've been cleansed, and so we're a peculiar people. And it's nothing we can boast about at all. But the believer is a peculiar people because we have been cleansed and we have been removed from these filthy sins. You know, we think about cleansing. When I think about cleansing, my mind goes to feet washing. And you know, that's a service that we're all familiar with, about cleansing. And sometimes we hear about being a servant on feet washing, but also we hear about cleansing, having our feet cleansed. And that evening, much emphasis is put on, and you know that we're not going to go there to John 13, but it talks about a partial cleansing and a whole body cleansing. And you remember Peter, he said, no, Lord, you know, Lord, you're not going to wash me. And he said, well, if you won't be washed, you will have no part with me. And then he said, well, wash my whole body then. And he said, no, you don't need your whole body washed. In other words, You have been washed in the blood. You just need a partial cleansing. And so this morning, we're witnessing a life that is a whole body cleansing of the blood. But to the blood-bought believer here this morning, we need to be cleansed, partially cleansed every day as the blood flows through the cells of our lives, taking away the toxins in our lives. That's just the way it works. And we're not going to really dwell there a lot. But you know, I don't know where we are. Maybe this morning, we need a partial cleansing, but maybe we need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, a whole body cleansing. I don't know where we are. And again, I don't know where we are with sin. How are we dealing with sin? Where is sin in your life? How much power does it have in your life? Even sometimes to the believer, sin can have quite a bit of power in our lives, and we need to be cleansed of that. So how are we doing? You know, as we think about cleaning, and you know, I thought about kind of what it feels like to be dirty. And you know, I think probably you sisters can relate to this, that you know how it is when it's been a while since you've cleaned your house and dust begins to collect and sinks become kind of scoured and dirty and tubs and toilets and all this kind of thing. You know, it just happens. It's just kind of the way life is. And you know how it is, and I know how my wife is, that, you know, I don't really notice it. I mean, when it gets really bad, I do, but to her, it's just a feeling of unclean. She can just sense that. And maybe if I would look deep, I would know that too. But you know what happens then when somebody comes over and maybe the house is kind of a wreck and all that, you know, it can cause a little bit of scurrying around and cleaning this here quickly and cleaning that there quickly. And I understand that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you know, I just think about this, and I think about our dirty homes, but I just want to compare it to our dirty lives. And you know, just kind of how we, if we have dirty lives, how easy it is to just kind of cover that up. We want to cover that up, and we don't want people to see. And so we kind of do a quick clean, and we kind of put things away. And so maybe on the outside, it looks kind of presentable and don't look too bad. But yet we know in our heart that we've got dirt there that needs cleansed. We need to be cleansed. And so let's not cover up. Let us not cover up the sin in our life. Let's not just do a partial clean. Or let's not just do a half clean, I should say. Let's do a full clean in the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, what about our shop? Now, I can relate to that. My shop wasn't too long ago. It was a total wreck. And I just kind of, it started getting dirty, and I realized that it was going to take a while. And so I just put it off. And so I kept putting stuff in there, and it was quite a wreck. Or a garage. Sometimes our garage can get a wreck. And you know, then somebody comes over and they say, hey, or, you know, I'd like to say, well, it's in the shop here. And, you know, they go into your shop and, you know, you feel embarrassment and all of that. And so find myself kind of starting to make excuses. Well, you know, I just kind of neglected it. It's not always this way. And I find myself wanting to make excuse for my dirty shop. You know, what about sin in our life? Let's not make any excuse for sin in our life. You know, there is no excuse for sin in our life. We have a Savior that wants to come and clean our lives, clean our shop out, clean our whole life. Let's not find ourselves making excuses for our sins. You know, I thought about, not about maybe all of us, but I thought about young folks. And I think about, just think about, picture yourself that you, maybe you live on a farm. Maybe you raise hogs. I don't know if anybody here raises hogs. But they stink. They stink. They have a smell to them. So just think about this. Young folks is coming up and maybe an hour away, and you've got to do chores. And so you run out there, you throw on some work boots, and you go out and you do the chores, and you walk through there, and you bump up against this and you bump up against that, and you walk out and you realize that you have hog manure on you and you smell and you stink. But then you just go on to young folks. You decide that, you know what, I'm just going to go on to young folks. And I think you'll probably notice something if you was to go that way. You'd notice that other people notice that you did not clean up. That you've been working in the hog barn and you did not clean up and wash yourself before you come into young folks. And you'll probably notice maybe that maybe people will kind of start distancing themselves from you. And because you stink. And so, you know, that's the way sin is. That's the way sin is. And really, and maybe even I'll distance myself. You know, if I go into a group of people and I know that I've been in the hog barn, I'm going to kind of stand back a little bit. I'm not going to want to get real close because I don't want you to smell me. And you know, that's how sin is. You know, it talks about relationship in this first chapter of 1 John. Talks about a relationship not only with God, but with each other. And that's what sin does in our lives. It causes us to distance ourselves, not only from God, but from people. And so let us be cleansed that we can have godly relationships. Husband and wife, you know how important it is to have a godly, close relationship. We need to be cleansed. And brother to brother and all that, you know, we need to be cleansed in the Lord Jesus Christ. what does sin smell like? What does clean smell like? You ever thought about that? What does clean smell like? Well, maybe to some of you, well, it smells like lemon. You've got a fresh smell and you walk in and it's got that lemony smell because it's what you use, maybe. Or maybe it's kind of got a pine smell to it, a pine cone smell, or some other scent to it. But, you know, clean has no smell at all. Clean has no smell at all. It's clean. It's pure. There's no dirt. There's no odor. There's nothing. Clean has no smell. And so what manufacturers do with cleaning solutions, they add scent to it, and it's not for any cleaning properties at all. They don't put that lemon smell in there to clean. They put in there to change your mind and really to deceive your mind about what we might think is clean, but it might not be clean. But because we smell that lemony smell, it tells us in our mind that, you know what, it's clean. And so let us not be deceived about sin. And you know, the enemy wants to do the very same thing in our own lives. He doesn't want us to allow the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lord, to cleanse us. He wants to throw in some of that scent. And so we think, oh, it's clean. And he wants us to be deceived and to think that we're clean when really we're not. And so let us not be deceived about that. I'm going to turn to Matthew 23, and this is one of those places of deceived. And Jesus was very, very hard on these scribes and Pharisees. Matthew 23, and this is one of those woes. In the 23rd chapter of Matthew, there is 8 woes. In here. 8 woes and a couple of these woes in here. Let's begin at the 25th verse. Matthew 23:25, and it says, woe unto you, scribe. That word woe just, it means to, for grief. That word woe means grief or trouble. So it means that woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and hypocrites. For ye make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, first cleanse that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. For even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And so there is the warning, and there what that is what the flesh wants to tend to. The flesh wants to make the outside look good, doesn't it? The flesh wants to make the outside so that it appears that you know what, we're okay. We're okay. And the admonition here, the strong rebuke here is we must first clean the inside. The blood of the Lord Jesus must first be effectual on our hearts and in our lives before it cleans. And it's not saying that we don't need clean living or clean outward. You know, I think of the outward as just things we say, things we do, things that appear. People see our lives. And it's not saying against that at all. In fact, he encourages good, clean, wholesome, godly living. That's what God, that glorifies him. But the strong admonition here is make sure that it comes from a cleansed heart and a cleansed life. That is the admonition that Jesus has for us. And it leads. It can take us. This is one. Jesus was very, very strong to those scribes and Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. He called them, I think in here, maybe children of the devil. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And that is trying to make the outside clean, when really inside it says it's full of extortion and full of excess. And so let us not fool our own selves, or we cannot fool God. Let us be cleansed, and let that clean inside then motivate our clean outward living. I thought about different things of different masking agents. That kind of mask, those companies do. They put in masking agents. And really all it's for is to mask anything that has a foul odor. It masks it and it gives a good odor, but really nothing's changed underneath. But there's many other masking agents in life. And I thought about just simply when we feel guilty, our flesh then wants to do good sometimes. Sometimes we feel guilty and we got to take care of this thing, and so we want to just kind of do good, or maybe we'll just try to be extra nice, or try to be extra helpful, or we'll even reach out to our neighbors, and the flesh wants to do that, and that's all good things to do. But let us not be fooled. That can be a masking agent in our life. We need to be cleansed. We need that sin cleansed from the depths of our heart. And I thought about just trying to forget sin. You know, I've tried that before. I've tried to just forget it. You try to put it out. You try to just let it go, and you try to just forget it. And let's not be fooled. That can be a masking agent. We can't forget it. Maybe we can forget it for a while, but just like in Numbers, it says something about your sins will find you out. And we don't want that. We want to be cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Let's turn back to 1 John chapter 1. We'll spend just a little bit of time here. And so the first point, we've read this. I'm going to just read it again, starting in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the first point that I want to make here is thinking about the blood of the Lord Jesus, and the fact that it is the all-purpose cleaner for all sin, all unrighteousness, no matter what the depth is, no matter how strong of a hold it's got in our life, it has no gripping power over the blood of the Lord Jesus. And that's a fact. It has no power. It has no holding. Sin cannot hold on to us if the blood of the Lord Jesus is applied to our life. But there's a point here that I want to make, and I've made this before. Maybe I've even spoke on this here before. But it's there in verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. And so that is very, very important to have our lives, have our hearts, have our souls cleansed. We need to confess. We need to confess our sins. And this confession, really the confession is saying that word confession, it's made up of a couple different words. One of them is the word logos, the word of God. And the other word, I didn't write it down, but it's the word together. And so you put that together in the word confession, and I take that to mean that God is speaking to us. His word is speaking to us. And his word is being revealed to us. Our lives, our own lives, our own sin in our own lives is being revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And what a blessing that we have. How thankful we can have that God revealed this sin to us in our lives. And so if we hear, if we listen to the Word of God, reveal our sin, what we need to do is agree with that. When we agree with God's revelation of our life, when we agree with that, that's confession. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's a beautiful thing when we can confess our sins. Because when we confess our sins, then our sins can be forgiven. And they can be not against us anymore in our life. And so may we be willing and ready to confess our sins. I'd like to turn to Psalm 51. And I think you know where we're going there. When I think about confession, my mind immediately goes to David. And here's David. Again, here's David, and we think David as being he was a very godly man, but we think about him as being, it says that he was a man after God's own heart, and yet we know the sin of David, don't we? And here's what David says, and you remember the story back there in 1 Samuel, as Nathan came to David, and you know the story about the lamb and the man that came wanted a lamb and that there, and David was furious at the man. And then Nathan then says to David, well, you're the man. And I see that there as the way God worked, revealing David's sin to his own life through the prophet Nathan. Well, maybe God uses each other to reveal sin in our life, or maybe it's the Holy Spirit. We can work both ways. But here is the way that God worked in the life of David, and God knows the best way. But I like the fact that David didn't hesitate one bit. You read the story. He didn't make excuse. He didn't try to cover it up. He just confessed. He just confessed and he just acknowledged. It was just like he was an open book. As soon as it was revealed to him, he just opened himself up. And here we read, we have some beautiful words of confession from the life of David. And we see, and as we read these four verses here, the first four verses, just look and just hear how he was just an open book before God. Have mercy upon me. You know, as God reveals sin in our lives, you know what else he reveals to us? He reveals his mercy. God doesn't just reveal sin and just leave us hanging there. He also reveals his mercy. And his mercy is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God doesn't leave us hanging. And David knew that. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. When God reveals sin in our lives, it's with loving kindness because he cares for us. He loves us so deeply that he gave his own son and to shed his blood for us that we might be cleansed. He goes on, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. David also had a belief and had a trust. He had faith in God that he would do that. You know, we need that too. That's very important in our life. When God reveals himself to us, reveals our sin, we need to believe that the cleansing blood is sufficient, that his grace is sufficient for us, just like David does. And he goes on, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Beautiful, beautiful confession of David there, confessing his life, confessing his sin to God Almighty. The second point I want to bring out here, and it says it twice, verse 8 and verse 10. And it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's pretty serious, isn't it? His word is not in us. That's pretty serious business there. You know, I don't think any of us would walk around and say, you know what, I don't have any sin. None of us would do that. But you know, we can live that sometimes. When we deny, when we lift ourselves up in pride and think maybe we're better than other people, or the hardness of our heart and maybe we're in a relationship struggle with someone and we're not going to give ground, no way. We're going to hold our, you know, really what we're saying in a way is, you know what, there's no sin in me. Or maybe we'll say, well, until you recognize your sin, I'm not going to recognize mine. And you know, we can deceive ourselves in that. And so it's a very serious thing that we confess, we acknowledge, we let the Holy Spirit do the work, cleanse us, let the Holy Spirit work in our lives and reveal and be quick to acknowledge our sin. The next point is walking in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. Now, that says that doesn't talk really about confession, but I think really that's kind of what it's saying. I think this walking in light, I just picture this as a life of a believer walking in the light. And so it's kind of every day we just kind of we walk in the light as an open book because the light is just shining on us. And you know, that's just kind of living a life of confession. It's just open before him. And maybe we don't, it's just, maybe we say something to somebody. Maybe we're at work and we get sharp and we say something to somebody. You know, if we're walking in the light, you know what, that strikes us. It strikes us and we feel it. We feel the Holy Spirit nudging us and saying, you know what, that wasn't a good thing to say. And so when we walk in the light, it's just as simple as going and saying, you know what, I'm sorry about that. Maybe it's our wife. Maybe it's our husband. You know, we get pricked when we say things that are hurtful sometimes, and we feel that prick. And to me, just walking in the light is just living in a continual confession. And it's not maybe always just getting down and praying that the Lord would lift these sins from our lives. Maybe we need to do that, and we do need to do that. But it's just living a life of confession and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's work and the Holy Spirit's revealing when we just say the slightest little thing wrong. Or maybe we say something hurtful to our children. Or maybe we look at something and you know the Holy Spirit's working and it's pricking us and saying, you know what? Get away from that. Say you're sorry and just on and on. And so I just see that as just walking before God. I thought about our conscience. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. There's a couple of verses I want to pull out of here. Let us start in verse 13. It says, Hebrews chapter 9, 13 says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes and a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh." Now, you know, that's a lot to understand there. And I don't know that I all understand it. You know, there's a lot to be learned there as Jesus brought in the, as God brought in the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices for sin and all that. And that's what that's speaking about. And it's very good. But you know, to be cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, we don't have to understand all of that. But the next verse we do have to understand. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." There's that purging, that toxins from our life that brings life, brings our spirit to life there to serve the living God. It says, purge your conscience. I want to think about that word conscience just a little bit. Let's go on over to Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance." Again, this is speaking a lot of verbiage in there, speaking to the old sacrifices, to the tabernacle, the temple. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies were washed with pure water." And you know, just thinking about our conscience and having our conscience cleansed or purged by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And you know, when I think about our conscience, and I think about that again, just walking in the light. I think about in that context of just walking in the light of the Lord Jesus every day, and the importance of having our conscience cleansed by the blood every day, and how important that is. But I think about conscience and, you know, our conscience is the moral compass that we have of life, of right and right, right and wrong. We need that. We need our moral compass to be right on. We need our compass clear and clean so it is pointing in the direction that it is supposed to point, and we are walking in the direction that compass is pointing to. And you know, that is our conscience within us. You know, I like to, or it's just, it's, I don't like to, it's just the way I am. But whenever I drive or just wherever I am, I've got maybe most of you men do, maybe most of you women don't, I don't know, but I've got a built-in compass. And I know that this is north, I know that's south, and it's just when we turn west, it's just like I just know that I'm going west, and it's just something that I keep in my mind, and it just happens. I don't have to work at it, but there is times, maybe down in Virginia or someplace where the roads aren't straight, and I'll get messed up, and you know it bothers me. In fact, it will bother me until I look at a map or look at my phone and figure out and get oriented on which is north, which is south. It just bothers me. And so you know, our conscience. You know, if we don't have, if the compass, if the conscious, if our conscience is not, if we don't know which way the compass is pointing, and we're feeling bothered by that, there's only one solution. It's the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus. And may it bother us. And may we not let it bother us. May we not let it continue to bother us. Because we can have that release. We can have that released from our lives, but only in the blood of the Lord Jesus. I think about conscience being an alarm clock. Being an alarm clock in our lives. And I don't know how you are, but sometimes, you know, if I'm tired, the alarm clock can ring. And, you know, we hit the snooze. And 5 minutes later, it rings again. We can hit the snooze again. I know some people that can go an hour that way. And what I did is I moved it clear across the room, and I put it, because I make myself get out of bed and walk over. And so I've kind of trained myself that when I get out of bed, I'm not going back to bed. I shut the off. But our conscience can be an alarm clock in our life. And so when that alarm clock goes off, and the Spirit reveals, it goes off in our life and reveals ourself, and also reveals the cleansing blood, may we not continue to hit the snooze and hit the snooze and hit the snooze. Let's get up and let's take care of it. May we do that. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, speaking hypocrisy, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And you know, that can happen. You know, if we continue to hit the snooze, if we continue to ignore that trouble in our life, when we don't know which direction we're going, the Bible says that our conscience will become seared. And I think about searing. I think about a brand. I don't know if any of you have experienced the branding of livestock. I know you did that when I was young or with my grandpa, but it sears. It can sear our skin. It can sear the flesh. And what it does is it puts a callus on there. So when God is trying to get our attention and say, hey, we don't feel that, and he pushes harder, and it's we ignore it. You know what happened? The callus gets wider, it gets thicker, and it gets harder for us to hear the revelation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, both revealing our sin and also revealing the blood of the Lord Jesus that can cleanse our heart and cleanse our conscience. And so I'm going to take my seat here. I just want to turn, I'm going to read a few verses, and I'm going to take my seat from Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. And this here is a picture that John had, a vision that John had of the throne. Revelation 7 verse 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Now this is all the people around the throne of God. No man could number, of all nations, all kindreds, and people and tongues, stood before the throne, and behold the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. Glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved. This is what we have. Those that have cleansed themselves in the blood of the Lord Jesus today and tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next year for the rest of our lives, we too can be standing around the throne in white robes, worshiping our God, saying, Alleluia, salvation is of the Lord. God bless you.